Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show. And now, here are your Motormouths, Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino.
All righty. Here we are down in Party Central for what we like to call the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. I'm Chris Switzer, and of course, the man who brought the entire shop bench right down here, all the way down to Party Central, to be in the party. It's Ray Guarino. How are you, my brother?
Excellent, Chris. All you need is a friend with a truck and a crane. And you can bring anything anywhere.
And you brought the parts, too.
Of course. Well, they're attached to the bench. And the vise is going to come in handy today. You watch.
And I see you didn't even get your tuxedo dirty, either.
Nope.
Wow. Crisply cut and everything. Wow, a lot of starch in that puppy.
Of course.
And you got the shoulder pads, too, going. Very cool. So this is the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza. What we like to do here are the best bits of 2013 and 2014. This is our gift to all you mothers out there.
Yeah, you happy about that? Some gift, huh? You know, Chris, we're here to celebrate mothers, of course. Our maternal mothers who are here or not here, our wives who are mothers, and mothers everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
My mother helped shape me into the person I am today. We all know that.
And round is a shape.
And I'll tell you something. If she were here today and see where I've gotten, she'd smack me right in the head and say, "What the hell did you do with your life? You're wasting it." This stupid crap. But I digress.
Went into a radio career. What's the matter with you? All that money I spent on education.
I had such hope. Anyway, our friends are here. They're assembling. You can see them out there. They got to shut up because they're supposed to listen to this. These mooks are a little noisy.
I see Dean and Drew Parisi. They're out there in the back. They have the drinks over by the Beluga, that big, huge white truck that they brought in for the festive occasion.
Always here. The first ones here.
Always. The Bronc actually flew in.
Yeah?
He had a couple of doctor's appointments, but he flew in anyway, so.
I know. It would have been nice if he used a plane, though. I think he's using that pain medication he was taking for that.
That goiter, that issue that he has.
Well, you want to kick this off? We'll get right down to
it. Let's do it.
I'll tell you what. We're going to go back to September 1st, 2013, with our good buddy, and there he is in the corner, Bill Giaccio, Billy G, our Gumbada Cheech. And this was... You know, this was a great one. Let's kick off the extravaganza with this man who thinks highly of the goings-on here at Motormouth Radio. The one and only Bill, of course. And he also represents the Retro Garage.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how smoothly Bill discusses the Motormouth Radio experience.
What were your thoughts of being in the studio doing the show with as opposed to listening to it as a civilian, so to speak?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, we completely lost track of time. It was actually, like I said once before, it was almost like being in a guy's garage or in a bar just BSing about cars. And there's nothing like the banter that goes on during the commercial breaks as far as just things that we all find out car guys have in common. So it was really, you got a nice setup there too.
That was what we were looking for.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
You play very well.
Yeah, thank you for the kind words.
But that's what I tell people when they ask me, well, what am I going to talk? What's it going to be like? I don't know. And I tell them exactly what you just said. And it's good to hear somebody else say it.
Right. It's so comfortable. I mean, Chris, God, if anybody doesn't know what Chris does, Chris is like the, he plays the harmonica, he plays the banjo, he plays the accordion, he plays the trumpet bouncing around on that board.
That is true.
Ray, you get any more relaxed at that mic, they'll be putting you in the ground.
You know, Bill, you got to be comfortable at your job, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I found over the years that you have to just, if you're not at that zen level, you're not doing it right.
Yes.
Well, you know, you can't delegate authority without responsibility, and you did a good job giving it to Chris.
And I hound him every week to make sure he does it, damn it. You know how that goes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, how that goes. I know. Bill should see me running around here. I'm playing the harmonica. I got a tuba. I got a harp. I got a whole bunch of stuff here trying to run the board.
If he could see over the crowd getting ready for that buffet line, he would be able to see you. But, you know, we're up here in this dais.
Hey, did you see the bartender? I mean, my drink is empty here, for crying out loud.
Oh, the water's empty? The water's gone already?
Water? No, you think it's water. No. Fish don't swim in that.
Ah.
This is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. We're going to come up to the second bit here. And there's a funny thing about Motormouth Radio, the studio experience, is that it's wise to watch what you say.
Yeah, because of the FCC.
Right. But it's a lesson that our very own Larry Montanez from P&L Consulting. Now, just
say that again a little faster.
P&L. P&L. E&L Consulting.
I think I see the trend.
But he quickly learned when he mentioned the name of his firm a little too quickly. And here's how it sounded on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Larry, how's it been? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I've been doing a bunch of different things with my P&L consultants. I still keep my job.
You know you're going to have to say that slower. Yeah,
was that pneumatic or is that, I don't know what kind of control that is. I'm not sure.
That was P&L,
yes,
right?
The letter P, the letter
and,
yeah, and L. The kind letter
maybe
L.
You want to rethink this brand.
Yes, well, we put a lot of thought into it. My partner, Pete, and I put a lot of thought into it, so we really
should be L and P.
L and P would be a lot easier.
Yeah, I think L and P.
The worst that confuse you with a pizzeria. That's close.
Right,
but,
yeah.
Remember, everybody's going to remember your name, though.
Oh, yes, they all will.
I got the logo for you. I already just designed it right now. Chris, sketch it out, Chris.
See, you can't trip up in this place. You get a Goodfellas beat.
We do have fun, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, Larry learned how things go on live radio. That's for sure.
I love it. When you said that we have a logo that we can design, everybody, I'm sure, had a picture in their mind.
Sketched it right out. Well, anyway, moving right along, we go back to August 22nd of 2013.
And what happened then?
You know, we made a great alliance with our good friend Scotty Gossin out in Oregon. He's a car tech author. That's how we got him, because he was an author, but we ended up becoming good friends anyway.
Right.
And now we're going to move from the studio into the street, which is Scotty's venue.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, as I said, back in August, Scotty came up with the idea to be a Motormouth Radio man on the street correspondent.
Where he came up with that, I don't know.
I don't know either, but you know what? It's a somewhat questionable endeavor with questionable results. You be the judge. Check out what Scotty had to say about his first man on the street interview in Medford, Oregon.
Right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. What's the question you're asking the people on the street, Scotty?
You know, Chris, I haven't had a chance to ask an actual question yet. That was the only human I've seen in a while, and she was in a big hurry to get out of the storm.
He's going to do it on the fly.
The wind's blowing. We got sideways rain here and stuff.
Oh,
so
wow.
Kind of
okay.
Nasty. Yeah.
Okay.
How about a diner or a deli? Is there a store you could duck in and ask somebody there?
That's an excellent suggestion. The nearest one, I have to cross two streets. I'm crossing the first street now. Wish me luck.
Don't get hit.
Streets are slippery and traffic's heavy. I'm crossing. This woman's nice enough not to run over me. Thank you, ma'am. And now I'm going to jaywalk across the street.
Yeah.
Whoa, that was close. Holy crap. Okay, so I'm walking into the Sunrise Cafe. It's these people from Hawaii started a little mom-and-pop cafe. And man, there's two customers in here. Hopefully it's quieter in here.
Okay.
Hi, how are you? Good. I'm actually inside the Sunrise Cafe now. And I'm talking with, I forgot your name, I'm sorry. Carol?
Carol.
Carol, hi. I'm Scotty Gossin. I'm live on the air with WHPC in New York. And, yeah, they were calling for a little West Coast perspective on what do you think of Ford pulling out of NHRA drag racing. Got any comment on that, Carol?
No, I don't. Maybe the guy's fine. I don't know drag racing.
She says she doesn't have a comment. She doesn't know drag racing.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this, Carol? What was your first car? Would you tell these guys?
Car was a Toyota Celica.
Oh, a Toyota Celica, yeah.
A little
four-door, two-door coupe. Oh, a coupe. Kind of racy and sporty.
But I aged myself was in the 1970s.
Yeah.
Okay. Vintage. I like
vintage,
that.
Yeah, vintage.
And what's your reaction to Pittsburgh being bombed off the map by an atomic blast this morning, Carol?
Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it's in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I know where it is. I did. Well, that would be a surprise. No.
Yeah, it was a big surprise for everyone there, I'm sure. And, yeah. Well, anyway, Carol, thank you so much for taking the time. It was good to see you. Aloha. That was nice.
That was nice.
The cafe. Yeah.
That worked out real well, Scotty.
Yeah, that went really smooth, didn't it?
Well, not if you were in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm sure the people at Pittsburgh right now that are listening are probably going, what?
And Scotty, Mr. Bix, he's outside hanging out with the guys. He's looking at the hardware in the parking lot right now.
There's
he's
a ton
out
of
the hot rods.
Yeah, there's a ton of hardware in that parking lot.
I think he's getting new book material out there.
Well, if you haven't noticed, this is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. We're playing the best bits from 2013 2014. Ray Guarino behind the shop bench. He brought the shop bench right down here to Party Central.
The tray of shots is here. The blue stuff just made it.
Nice.
Your blue goo just made it.
Is that the stuff you were using to clean the carburetor just before? the blue goo?
It might be.
Well, let's keep the extravaganza going. Now we move from the street directly to the racetrack. In this highlight, we talk with Super Chevy Magazine editor-in-chief Jim Capisano and his colorful relationship with Dean and Drew Parisi from Dean and Parisi Racing. They're all already in the back there. They're standing up and taking notice back there.
Now you got their attention now, that's for sure.
Yeah. Here it is, right on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Check it out. So, Jim, what's the association between you and the Parisis?
Well, like I've been a lot of the egg plant farm over the years. I have my connections now in the South. I bring them moonshine for after the track.
Very cool.
It's a fun time with them. They're always laughing. You know, they try to get me in trouble. Everywhere I go, they hide garbage cans behind my car.
I heard there was a good reason for that, too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though, because I heard the story right from the horse's mouth.
I think that story gets embellished sometimes.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you know, that's the way it goes.
It seems to be taking on a life of its own. My favorite Parisi story is me standing on the top of his trailer in Maple Grove, taking pictures.
Yep.
Of the racing, and I hear this backfire, and the Camaro had a trans problem, trans fluid caught on fire, flames all the way up in the air, and I, of course, being the good journalist, instead of getting off the trailer to help, I'm taking pictures of it, putting it in the magazine, and Andrew never lets me forget.
Right, that was at Bradenton in 2008. I believe, yeah.
It happens.
You were just being true to your craft.
I said, there's no such thing as bad publicity. And he said people all these years later still bring it up to him. That hey, that was the car. Your car was the one on fire, wasn't it?
Yeah, Dean had sent me a link, and one of the links was from, they're all from Super Chevy, and there was a picture of the car. It burned down, and like I was thinking, it burned down not on the starting line. It was on the finish line it burned down, which is...
Oh, boy.
Oh, it was hard to see. Well, now Dina's brother owns that car, and he's resurrected it back into a street car, and it's beautiful. Still just
it's a gorgeous car. That car had beautiful paint on it. It was you wouldn't believe it was a race car by looking at it. It looked like a show car.
You know, like some of the stories around they weren't mojitos, I don't think Dina was making it, but I heard...
Well... I'm thinking it's moonshine, just from what...
Well, yeah, pretty much, I think.
I don't know, it seems to be painting a picture.
Yeah.
I'll plead ignorance.
Ignorance is bliss.
Always. And speaking of moonshine, is that white clear liquor that you got that's sitting there next to the blue goo liquor that you brought
over? I'm pleading ignorance. I will not say it. I may be ignorant later.
Yeah.
And so everything.
The crowd's getting a little ignorant, too, down here at Party Central.
That's because Dina's walking around with a tray. She's handing out personal samples of that stuff. And
she's got the ice skates on. She's skating around.
Yeah, what a trick that is. I'll tell you.
That is true. Well, especially on ruining the carpet.
Yeah. And I got to tell you something. Well, that burned down of Drew's was no fun, but like any explosion, like anyone that happens on this show weekly, it always seems to make for good radio when something goes wrong.
Always.
And we champion that twice a week. You know, about a month ago, folks, I was talking to this mook over here about a certain item that he had autographed and the debacle that went along with it. So I'd like to share that with you now.
This is a classic right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza.
What I love is watching the old TV shows from the 70s where they had a rotary phone mounted on the transmission hump. You know, like Maddox picked up the receiver.
The red light blinking.
Yeah. Yeah, Commissioner Gordon was on the other end.
Really distracting.
I know. But it was a literal house phone. Oh, they screwed to the floor. I just like, oh, that's a car phone, huh? Yeah, very good. Banachek had one.
Yeah.
All the great guys back in the 70s on those shows had those phones.
Oh, totally, yeah. Kojak had the great, because I think it was like black. It was just a black desk phone.
Oh, yeah, black.
The rest of them were like a tan. His was like black.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was also the coolest of all of them, I think. Kojak.
Well, go back to 66 and the originator for car phones, Batman.
Batman.
Batman had the bat phone in the Batmobile that went to Commissioner Gordon's desk with the red phone that lit up.
And you have a very famous bat phone as well, don't you?
Yeah, the one I made.
Well, what about it?
It's autographed by George Barris.
And what's so unique about the autograph?
It's autographed upside down. When I handed George the phone, it's a two-piece affair. The bat receiver is on top of the base. And when I handed it, he just took it and inverted it and signed the base upside down. And I looked at him and I said, what am I going to do? I got to tell this guy this. George, can you? No, what I'm going to do is, I haven't done it yet, I'm going to actually mount it upside down.
That's perfect.
Because the bat should hang upside down anyway, if you think about it, right?
You got a good point.
Right.
Never really thought of that.
So there you go. It's one of those moments like, okay.
I remember when, just saw the look on your face when you handed it to him and he handed it back and you looked. Like, you knew it the second he handed it back. And he was just so proud that he signed it and handed it to you, and you're like,
right? Can't ask the guy. Whatever.
That was one of my favorite looks.
Yeah, that was
you
good.
You gave me that look like, do I need this? I don't need this.
I don't need this. I didn't want to ask him in the first place, and here you go.
So, one of the greatest looks I ever saw you. As soon as George handed it back, you just looked at that phone and was like, oh, for crying out
loud. You know, Mike Manning was standing right next to me, and we both saw George do it at the same time, and Mike even looked at me like, what do you know? And I'm like, I ain't gonna do nothing.
And George was so proud of it too. Oh, he was just all smiles and everything. He just autographed your phone. It was just wonderful. Well, this is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. I'm gonna try and take a break right now, but
no, you're doing number six.
Oh no, I am doing number six. We're not taking a break yet.
I think too much of that blue stuff for you, Mr. Switzer. You better lay off.
Give me another cup of that. Wait.
Jeez.
We're down here in Party Central because I'm in a different place. You know what happens when you throw me in a different room.
I know. I can't wait till they tell us tomorrow where we were today, because I don't know where the hell we are.
Well, let's go to this one right here. This bit here at the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. You think for a minute that Ray would be the only one to be poked by the fickle finger of fate. Well, oh no. On this next phone call, I explain to Rich Dwyer, he's the R&D manager from K&N Air Filters, how Ray and he set me up. Wouldn't you know it, Rich went and set me up again.
That's because he's so good and had so much fun at it.
And here he is talking about it on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza with Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer. Check it out. We are going to go to the phones right now and talk to Rich Dwyer from K&N Air Filters. Rich, welcome to Motormouth Radio once again. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well, very well. When we last spoke, I must admit, I'm still recovering from it. I loved it because it was fantastic. Because Ray had an issue with his vehicle where he had a check engine light, and I had blamed it on his aftermarket air filter. And Ray took it upon himself to reach out to you to call and to set me in my place, which I was howling over. I thought that was fantastic. That was fantastic.
Hey, and you know what? What I think is interesting is you've got a TR6 in your garage with a K&N sticker on it.
Does it have a K&N sticker on it?
Yes, it does.
Wow, why? Rich, so you've been to Brooklyn, huh?
Yes, it does. And you know what?
We have ways of finding these things out.
I guess so. Market research is better than I thought over there.
You are good. You are the market research king. That is Rich, you are so right. And you know what? That sticker was a bear to take off. Boy, I was scraping the heck out of it. No, but when I bought the car, it had a K&N sticker on the back.
So the last owner was smart, at least.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I went downhill from there.
Uh-huh. That is very, very true.
And it's interesting because
Rich put me in my place twice so far.
I like Rich. I like him. We're going to keep him around.
He set me up.
Yeah, twice. You're very observant.
Yes, he is. And I'm sorry to say that sticker is no longer on the car. It was a bear to take it off.
Well, truth in advertising.
Yes, but he did set me up. It's so funny because we spoke to Rich Dwyer recently, and I was waiting for the third time for him to set me up, but thankfully it didn't happen.
I'm sure his slick black MG midget's going to have a K&N sticker on
that
it.
That is definitely one hot set of wheels.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
It'll look good on there, too.
Very true. This is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. So
I thought now we were taking a break.
You want to take a break now? Go ahead.
So far on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, we went from the studio down to the street and straight to the racetrack.
Yes.
where there's a good chance that something will go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, you're holding a bat phone with an upside-down George Barris signature on it. So
after this break on the Extravaganza, we'll be hearing from noted author Laurie Bentley Law's technique for fighting fatigue. We're going to have Miss Full Throttle ending up with one too many shirts. Why Bill Lindsay's wife is mad as a snake. Plus, Hot Rod's David Kennedy gets questioned. And we go back to the old neighborhood with Artie Schilling from Artie's Party.
Excellent.
And it's all coming up right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza with Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer. Down here, we're all down here in Party Central having a good time. Keep it where you got it.
Whether your car is fast or slow, we're your number one radio show. Motormouth Radio, baby. Ow.
Bill Horan presents Secrets of Success, the show designed to help listeners uncover their hidden talents to maximize success. Listen to Secrets of Success Wednesdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 7:30 a.m. on 90.3 FM WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Whether your car is fast or slow, we're your number one radio show. Motormouth Radio, baby. Ow.
All righty, we're back down here at Party Central on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. We're playing the best bits of 2013-2014 on this Mother's Day 2014. It's the highlight of our entire year.
Yeah, if you believe it, this was the best of. Well, some of these guests are really the best of. It's true. It's just... Anyway, we went back to October 20th in 2013. We had Laurie Bentley on the phone, another guest that Scotty Gosson had gotten us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's uncanny what you can get when you get picked out of a blog with a casual glance.
Mm-hmm.
When the question was asked to noted author Laurie Bentley Law about how she deals with riding fatigue on her motorcycle when on the road, she, being a good author, gave us a lot more than we had bargained for.
And here it is on the Extravaganza.
Laurie, talking about that cross-country trip, you do something I read in the blog that I found interesting when you have motorcycle riding fatigue. And what is that that you do?
Which one? When I drag my legs behind me?
That's an interesting one.
I have all kinds of... What did I write in the blog? I don't remember.
Ah, the old blog comes back to bite you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, I was... Sometimes, yeah, I mean, I stretch my legs. I just kind of fly out behind, you know, you just kind of kick your
legs. Like Supergirl.
I was gonna say, are you talking about when I sing in my helmet?
Yes.
Oh, I've done that.
That's it.
I have sung so loud in a closed face helmet. I've made myself deaf sometimes just out of boredom.
But I tell you, it was so embarrassing, though, because we were going through Chicago on our way back, and traffic was just horrendous. And lane splitting in California is illegal, but we weren't sure, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. in other states if it was legal. We found out since it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured we wouldn't risk it, and we'd just, you know, sit in traffic. And I was just going stir crazy. It was hot, and we're in this traffic, and so I started doing the I Dream of Jeannie theme. And I'm like singing it at the top of my lungs. And I look over and this truck driver's just staring down at me and laughing his head off.
You know, here you go. I'll expose it again. I do that with the...
Thanks for that.
Yeah, I do that with the Chips theme. I do actually the Chips. Because I'm a huge Chips fan. I always have been, and I'll blast out the Chips music out of my mouth like a lunatic.
He's nuts.
Stop my feet
well,
on the floor.
I'm glad to know again that I'm not alone in my lunatic.
No. No, not at all. You know, I don't care what the world is. When men and women coexist in it, they're going to find there's commonalities. They
sure
definitely
they are.
They definitely
that's
are.
True.
I love when I hear about that, too, because now I know that, you know, I'm not the only idiot that's sitting there singing on my own. That's cool stuff.
Singing in the helmet, aren't
all
you?
All the time.
Oh, it's like you're singing right now.
I did it on the way to the show today.
This is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. We are not taking any calls today, so we're going to devote the entire hour to playing the best bits of 2013-2014.
Yeah. Plus, this dive you set us up in doesn't have incoming phone service. There's a payphone. You still got to put quarters in that damn thing.
It's in the phone booth. Did you notice?
I saw
with
that,
the folding
yeah.
doors and yes. everything? This is a fine place you booked. The paneling is just exquisite on the wall. And the paneling on the floor there, too, is just exquisite. Well. But everybody is here. We're all down in Party Central in that undisclosed location. Joe D is out there having a good time.
Shaking hands.
He's with
checking
us.
Scan data.
Kissing babies. He's doing a whole bunch of stuff. Got the members of the Long Island Thunderbird Club and the Thunderbird owners of New York, otherwise known as Pony, all here with us. And, of course, the Long Island GTO Club and the Centurion Cruisers showed up, too.
Always.
They're here as well, down in Party Central. And we're going to play another bit here. What do we have? Oh, that's right.
Don't forget this.
This is a good one. That's right. You know, when Miss Full Throttle, Melissa Vlasati, makes an on-air announcement about the whereabouts of a missing shirt, we all just sit up and take notice. And here she is with Full Throttle Magazine's Greg Sheridan talking with one of our Motormouth Radio favorite contributors, Vic, on how the shirt can get back to its rightful owner. And right, it's right here. And this is a good one. On the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza.
Right. That's true.
Sure. Unless you're Vic, who has a car that literally... Well, how far off the ground, Vic,
well,
is your Hudson?
They did a shoot on my car.
They did?
Yes, Greg. You featured Greg.
That's right.
It was in May or June or something like that. It's
yeah.
My story with that, I knew like a week or two in advance, and I was showing some of my friends the magazine, and they saw Melissa, and they all wanted to come over.
You know? So you changed locations, right?
My friends would have all been in, like, trench coats and socks, you know?
Yeah. So you changed locations at the last minute, Vic? Is that what you did?
Well, I told them the shoot was at 3 o'clock.
Oh, and what time was it?
I believe it was like at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like that.
That's smart.
Oh. We had to change it. The weather was going to turn bad.
Little
you know?
Diversion.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, that was a great car. I loved that was our cover on Gasoline Alley on the June cover.
That's correct.
Hey, by the way, I have your son's shirt. That sounds really bad on the radio, but
what are you doing somehow, with his son's shirt?
Well, I had your dress, so that's fair enough.
Whoa.
No, in all honesty, I have to clarify that there was a change. They provided a change room for me, and somehow when I went to pick up all my clothes from the different shots that we did on the Rat Rod, I somehow picked up his son's shirt was in that room somehow. And so I don't know. I have to figure out how to get that mailed back to you.
How'd you get the skirt? How'd you get the skirt?
The shirt. No.
She grabbed the wrong shirt?
No, just, you know, I guess I had a pile of clothes on the floor, you know, the floor, and there his son's shirt must have been there because I knew it wasn't mine.
Melissa, if you, on the floor of my house.
Yeah. Melissa, if you get it back to us, we can get it to Vic.
All right.
Sounds good.
Right. When Miss Full Throttle Melissa Vlasati says there's a shirt missing, we're all there.
Yeah, it sounds like a shoot we would have liked to have been at.
That's for sure.
Anyway, when we went back to April 3rd of 2013, we found that some catastrophes are much more intense than others.
Oh, yeah.
We had Bill Lindsay, the VP of marketing for StarTron, on the phone, and he shared with us how his fuel additive actually saved his life. When he had not one, but two catastrophes to deal with at the same time, and one was much worse than the other.
Check it out.
Sorry. Let me tell you a true story about how StarTron saved my life.
Oh, okay. Mm.
It's a sad story, but it has a happy ending. We're down here in Fort Lauderdale. I'm in the headquarters, because Montgomery is a beautiful place, but Fort Lauderdale is a lot more fun to live in.
I'm sure.
And down here about 3 years ago, my wife, who's from New York, a Rockaway Beach girl, she decides a hurricane is coming to kill us. And she's looking at it on the news, and she's all worried about it. I go to Weather Underground. It's not coming anywhere near, so it's going to go hit Bermuda. But she's on me about it, so I said, fine, I'll go get a generator. I've got a Honda EU1000 in the garage. I pull it out, still in the box. I put it away nice and neat. Take it out. Has not run in 5 years. I take it out of the box. 32 pulls, nothing. Boom, 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 boom. Nothing. She's 5'3", 96 pounds soaking wet, and mean as a snake. So she's getting pissed at me because it won't start, and we're going to die, obviously, from this hurricane. So I grab a bottle of StarTron, and I put half of it in, and I'm praying to baby Jesus the whole time. I let it soak in there for about 20 minutes. It started on the second pull, but it took 7 minutes to stop blowing white smoke and bouncing as it was burning all the varnish out of that little bitty carburetor bowl and the jet itself.
Wow.
But because it increases the combustibility of the fuel, even though I had old fuel in there, it was enough to spark. And once you get it to spark, the stuff will help it start.
So you put this thing away for 5 years with old fuel in it. Is that what you're saying?
5 years of all fuel, and all I did was dump in half a bottle of Startron, and thank you, it started.
Nice. Well, I
don't recommend that, of course. That was just for you know, kind of a dumbass like me to do, and it saved me, but most people aren't going to have fuel quite that old.
Right. So I guess that the happy ending was that the hurricane didn't come and kill you.
Right.
Well, I'm not worried about the hurricane. I was more about the wife.
Right, your wife, of course. Well, your wife's
much more dangerous than any hurricane.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I agree.
That's for sure.
You know, life lesson learned.
Always, always. Well, right down here at Party Central at the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, playing the best bits of 2013, 2014. Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer. And, of course, sometimes the real sign of strength, not only from your wife, but is not only how one deals with the large issues, but how one deals with those relentless nagging annoyances that never seem to go away. And we asked Hot Rod's editor-in-chief, David Kennedy, on how he deals with the onslaught of nagging questions. And it's right here on the Extravaganza. Check it out.
David, has anybody ever, like, I know they test us constantly. Once they find out who we are and what we do, you know, they'll always give you that question. Does that happen to you often now that you're running the show?
Well, you know, the questions I get end up usually being about the magazine or the structure. I'm a powertrain guy, so my knowledge is about anything in the drivetrain. And then the vehicle is, you know, something I usually fall in love with cars that have great powertrains to start out with. So I'm happy to talk, and I talk a lot. So they're usually, they wish they hadn't asked me a question after they did ask that.
Nice technique. That works for us, too.
Exactly. Yeah. You just wear them out.
Oh, yeah. The problem is there's more of them than you. That's the problem.
That's my favorite part, though, is talking to people about their cars, what they're working on. And what questions they have. And then I've always found that the correct answer to any question is one of two things. It depends.
Right.
Or it's all about balance. You know, it's never really one thing, you know.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we'd love it to be one thing. So you kind of can work in some of those nuances. And if we talk long enough, I think somebody will get something out of it or at least get tired of hearing me talk about it.
That was great. Good advice from David Kennedy.
Always, always.
And, you know, I tell you, now we're gonna move to the other part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to July 11th of 2013.
Okay.
We had Artie Schilling from Artie's Party on. Right. And he was going on and on about how great it was to live down south in South Carolina. And, you know, then, of course, you mentioned the newfound benefit of living in Brooklyn.
Right.
Which we all went, yeah. Well, then, somewhat questionable results, things took a turn, and Artie responds to us with his escapades of growing up across the pond in New Jersey.
And don't forget your quips in there that really make this bit what it is.
I forgot all about it. I'll have to hear it.
Well, let's check it out together right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza.
I don't want to tell you what our taxes are.
Okay, well, I'll compare tax bills with you.
Yeah.
Okay, my house is about $170,000 ranch house on a golf course. And my taxes this year were $362.
No. Yeah. Well, let's see. I'm time.
There you go.
What am I? Time 15, 20?
Reasons to live here, believe me. It's the same.
Artie, I have to laugh because anyway, you talk about a desirable area to live in. I have just found out that there is something called a pizza tour that goes from the edge of Brooklyn, Lower Manhattan in Brooklyn, goes to one pizzeria there, and then comes to my neighborhood for the other slice of pizza.
Ellen Bay, right?
And they literally have like a double-decker bus, and they have like a tour. And they point at all the areas where they're like Goodfellas was filmed.
Oh, let's take it. Let's go do it.
Saturday Night Fever was filmed.
Let's go do it.
And I'm thinking to myself, I live in, like, this cage now where these tourist tour buses come.
Like it wasn't a cage before.
You know what you need to do? Whenever you know that bus is coming by, don't shave for a couple days. Grab a can of beer, get in your underwear, and go out and sit on the front porch and wait.
Now, wait a minute.
I love that kind of thing.
No, wait. I thought you'd want to do something different. Something he doesn't do now. Because all his neighbors look like that, especially the women. I've seen them.
Oh, gosh.
It really is. And we're talking, you know, we are talking Brooklyn.
Yeah. I listened to the first half hour where you said about you guys bust each other, but you don't bust the people who come on the air. We're funny because a couple of guys from down the south here have come up with me to Atlantic City. There's a big sign show there in December, and all the stripers come in, and we all hang out. And a couple of guys came up with me, and one guy from New Bern, North Carolina, Joe Buck, real nice guy, and he said to me, he says, I made two observations when I was there. He says,
everybody wears black clothes. Don't you? Anybody only in color?
Uh-huh.
He says, and you guys never say anything nice to each other, and then you laugh about it.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, that's New Jersey, man.
Yeah, it's true. If they don't bust on you, they don't love you.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
It's a bizarre thing. You know?
Sure is. And we'll be talking to Art again very soon.
That's right. And if they don't bust on you, they don't love you. Just like us right here at the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer. And, of course, when we come back, we're going to be talking to Evan Smith, editor of Muscle Mustangs and Fast Forwards, on his flight with no other than Jack Roush. And I take the time to channel my Southern style. One of our favorite callers, Doug, shares a great idea for tire treatment with us. And speaking of tires, Ray takes issue with the whole tire-changing process on the side of the road, plus a Mother's Day extravaganza first. We find out the condition of John's cooling system balls.
I had to think twice when I read that one, and I knew what it meant.
Right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza, the best bits of 2013-2014, all for you today. Keep it where you got it.
Ladies, dry your eyes. The Motormouths are coming right back.
When you're just driving around the block or up the street, you don't need to wear a seatbelt because you know you're not going to be in a car crash, right? Wrong. Because anybody who's ever been in a car crash can tell you they never saw it coming. So always buckle up. Always. A message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ed Council, and this station, 90.3 FM WHPC, the radio voice of Nassau Community College.
They've got the tools to keep your engine roaring. It's the Motormouths, baby. Yeah.
Alrighty, welcome back to Motormouth Radio. We're down here in Party Central having a good time. And we're taking those calls.
It's my turn. That play of Sausage and Peppers just came that Drew made, and I'm not ready to talk. I'm still trying to slough this down my gullet.
Ooh, yes, it's your turn. Go.
Well, anyway, if you remember, we go way back to February when we were turned on to a great guest from our good friend Alana Scher at Hot Rod Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It was the editor of Muscle Mustangs and Fast Fords, Evan Smith. And one of the highlights of his career was a flight he took with team owner Jack Roush. Everybody knows who he is.
Sure.
And that was a hell of a lot better than first-class flying.
Here it is on the extravaganza.
What was a car that really stands out that you tested?
One of the coolest things I've gotten to do on the job wasn't even a car. It was a Mustang, but it wasn't a car. I had the opportunity to fly with Jack Roush in his P-51 Mustang.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Tell us about that.
How was that?
That was a really rare opportunity. I'm a Warbird fan and a Mustang fan, and it kind of just came up in conversation about 2 years before I went up with him that we were talking aviation and not racing, and he offered to take me up, and it took about 2 years to make it work because he has got a schedule that most human beings couldn't handle. Long story short, I end up in the back of his P-51. As we're getting ready to get in the plane, he hands me this surplus-looking parachute. And I said, I put it on, and he says, okay, if we have a situation, this is a true story, by the way. He says, we have something go wrong up there. He says, what will happen is I'll blow the canopy, you'll fall out to the right, and I'll fall out to the left. Stay as tight to the fuselage as you can, so that you don't get hit by the tailplane.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at him like, what?
Yeah.
I said, are you serious? And he goes, well, you know, if we have an engine fire and something goes wrong, he goes, this isn't a Cessna. We're not going to be coasting down. He goes, we might have to get out. He says, of course, if we're inverted, you won't have to worry about that.
Right.
Then he says, you'll grab the D-ring and you'll pull. And he says, your arm will be flailing and you'll have this metal thing in your hand and you'll be terrified. As if I wouldn't already be terrified.
Right.
Fortunately, we made it through the day, and I did not have to pull the D-ring or get out of the plane until we got back on the ground. And we did some loops, and we cruised around over Michigan. It was really, really exciting, and that thing is loud.
Oh, sure. What's the airspeed on something like that, about 350?
At one point, we hit over 350 in a dive. He was diving the plane. He was doing all kinds of stuff that... Yeah, I got a little queasy. I never had a problem, but I did get a little queasy at one point.
I was going to ask you. I was going to say, did you keep it down or no? But you did, huh?
I totally kept it down. And if it was like Joe Bob's Cessna, I might not have. But being that it was Jack Roush's P-51,
yeah.
I was toughing it out.
Can you imagine what a flight like that?
Oh, geez, yeah.
It's just incredible. It's just
fantastic.
Incredible. And we're trying to keep it down here at the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, but it ain't happening.
I'm waiting for the cookies and that Strigadella come around.
Yeah, you got a nice bakery from down the block from me.
Yeah, yeah.
What'd you call them up and say, I know Crescenzo? What'd you do?
Give my secret out.
I was going to say, you got skills. But anyway, as everyone knows, Ray occasionally stumbles on certain human interest stories throughout the week and reports them back to us right here on this fine program. When Ray brought up a news factoid he found over the holiday season back in December 26th, I was compelled to embellish the finer points of the story with my own down-home style. And right now, you're going to check it out right here on Motormouth Radio on Mother's Day Extravaganza, right here. Check it out.
I found another piece that ties in with ticketing and driving. Out of Melbourne, Florida, get a load of this, Chris.
Yeah.
Police in the central city in Melbourne yesterday have been issuing scratch-off lottery tickets instead of speeding fines to Christmas Day travelers.
I heard about this.
Did you?
This. Yes.
Well, then you also know they handed out about 30 lottery tickets with warnings to drivers caught speeding or violating other traffic laws.
Mm-hmm.
Officers bought the lottery tickets with their own money to spread a bit of holiday cheer while ensuring public safety.
Yes.
And Roque says the officers have gotten a lot of surprised look.
Have you heard any of the sound bites from people interviewed that got these lottery tickets from
Rizzo?
It's comical because they're all like, I didn't think I was going to get a lottery ticket from a state trooper. You know, that was repeated after repeated, that sort of technique.
I'd like you to repeat that because I'll tell you, that was scarily accurate. So please, Jeb, please, one more time.
I didn't think I was all going to get a lottery ticket from a state trooper.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I was, when I'm driving along, I'm listening to these people. I'm like, oh my God.
Channeling your southern self. Look at you. Woo! That explains the flannel shirt and the tooth.
Thank you. The tooth not in my mouth.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, you do that way too well.
Sorry about that.
I think after a few more of those blue things, you're going to be doing it again way too well.
I got another one of them blue things.
Here he goes. Well, anyway, we fast-forwarded after that debacle to June 23rd of 2013 when a recurrent caller, Doug from Seaford, called.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of the more interesting calls we've received in a while. Doug was talking about literally things that get us thinking and scratching our heads.
Okay.
It only gets more interesting when one of our related experiments required you, Chris, to remove something from your wallet, which is always interesting.
It's my identification. Well, here it is on the Extravaganza.
I came up with this question. It's a little crazy. I expect to get laughed at and ridiculed and everything else. Would it be so nuts to spray something like an SPF 50 sunscreen on the tires?
Wow.
Well,
holy moly, you just stumped the band. Ray and I are looking at each other like, great idea.
You know, I don't know if the properties that make sunblock work for skin are the same for tires. I don't know. I would write to, like, Coppertone.
I'll tell you, Doug, what I won't use is any sort of protectant.
No silicone.
No silicone, like an Armorall or a Son of a Gun or anything like that, because I think that only hastens the process.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I wouldn't use that.
So would that include that stuff that, like, if you go to the car wash and they put that stuff on your tires?
Who knows what that is?
Yeah, that's,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what that can be, cooking oil for all we know.
Probably is.
Yeah, it's probably Crisco.
Well, you know, I do know this. I'll tell you a quick little chemistry lesson. Any rubber product is basically molded, and it's molded. There's a petroleum process, and there's a mold release that's used. And as soon as a rubber product is made, it starts losing its petroleum qualities.
Okay.
It'll happen to anything. A rubber band. If you leave a rubber band long enough and you stretch it, it'll break. You know, we've all had that happen. And that's in a house in a drawer somewhere. So that condom Chris carried through, like, you know, through all of his school years and up into last year. That thing just fell up. We did a test one day. We tried covering a manifold snout. I said, I need something that's like, you know, I need a glove. And he said, well, try this. And we took it out and went poof. It was dust. So that didn't work either.
Maybe because I used it too many times.
Yeah, those fold lines didn't match up. I was wondering about that. So yeah, anything rubber is going to degrade over time. And when you put it in the sun, it just makes it happen a little faster. I, you know, you very well may be onto something.
Doug,
here. You
may be calling us the next time you call. You may be this multimillionaire.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, we found out that the sunblock actually turned the tires white.
Yeah, Dunn called back and said the experiment did not work.
Right. So just to let you know, don't go out and buy SPF and put it on your tires. But we get to hear a lot of bizarre things right here at Motormouth Radio, and this time's no different. Here's Ray telling me about some strange residue that accumulated inside his buddy John's radiator. And it almost makes it sound like the residue should be handled gently. And right here it is. Try not to cringe on this one, gang. This one's cringeworthy. Try not to do it on the extravaganza. Check it out.
And John told me his Honda, which is a 97 or 98, he had an issue with his, he had changed the thermostat.
Okay.
And he changed it, topped the thing off with some antifreeze, and next thing you know, he had a cooling system problem. He didn't have heat, and he found these round, rubber-like balls of goo on the cap and in the radiator. Cost him a radiator.
Come
it was
on.
Because he mixed two different fluids.
No way.
That shouldn't have been mixed.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, wow.
So I asked John, I said, well, since that car was new, he owned it since new.
Right.
I said, have you been putting Honda fluid back in it? He did say, he didn't remember, but he did say, well, the stuff that was in there was pink, and he did put in green. I said, okay, well, there's your indicator.
Uh-huh.
You screwed up. But I said, well, what did the balls look like? He goes, well, they look round. I'm like, great. I said, what did they
feel? Yeah, how to ask that question.
Well, it got better. I said, what did they feel like? And he said they felt like balls, Ray. What do you think they felt like? But he said they were kind of rubbery and hard rubbery. I thought they'd be soft and gushy, like most balls. That you... But no, they were hard and firm. And I said, the doctor wants to know about it. No,
I'm getting very...
I see.
Yeah. I'm squirming here.
You are. Yes, you are. So he pierced one with a needle.
Oh,
because... Because he wanted to see what was in it. And nothing gushed out. And this is what it was. And I'd heard that.
Did you roll him around a little bit?
Well, he did, yeah, sure. Of course.
Jiggle him a little bit?
He did. He did. But
did he smile?
I don't know. He wasn't smiling when he told me because it cost him a radiator, so he was a little piece of dude off. He was not too happy about that. But I had heard about that, and I'd never seen it because, of course...
Never seen the balls.
Not that type, because I never ill-maintained my vehicles to that degree.
Right, so you're ball-free.
So John learned a lesson that I thought was great for this show. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
You have to agree with that. Right?
I totally agree.
Yes.
I'm so glad that the balls were able to... Show him the way, yeah. I think.
Sometimes they lead you.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you see, just a short while ago, you said you'd never see me laugh.
That's
I was
true.
Laughing harder at that bit I've laughed in a long time.
But that's one of the bits that left me speechless. It truly did. It truly left me speechless.
Stuck a needle in it.
Yeah!
The visual.
Oh, boy.
Well, anyway, after that mess, we went over to March 2nd of this year.
Right.
And there was a lot of potholes that arrived on the roads after this nasty winter we had.
Sure were.
And I had just seen one too many drivers changing flat tires on the side of the road, so I decided to just rant about it like we sometimes do on this show, and you went with it very well.
Check it out right here on the extravaganza.
Right. Now, how many people who never check their tire pressure, I've seen this, Chris, on the side of the road where somebody gets a, oh, I got a flat, all right, let me check the, oh, and of course, golf clubs, all the wax comes out, the volleyball, the surfboard comes out, the clothes from the summer, the bathing suits, the beach blankets, chairs, sand buckets. Well, there's the cat. And then they finally find the spare tire, take it out, jack the car up. Oh, it's stressful. Everything is going wrong. Oh, this jack is slipping again. Oh, the lug nuts. Oh, I'm supposed to take the lug nuts off before I jack it up. Take the car down. Take the lug nuts. All these things are tight. Jack it back up. Take the tire off. Put the space saver on. The lug nuts go back on. Unjack it down. God, I'm stressed now. I'm sweaty. I'm late. I got to put everything back in. How come the tire's on the ground? It's like flat. Oh, because you never checked the air in the space saver. Spare bozo, is that why?
No, because you've done this before, reciting it so effortlessly.
Because that's what I've seen on the side of the road. I've seen people use that spare, never having had checked it, thinking miraculously, it's a spare. It always has air.
You're right.
And they had another flat. Now what do you do? Right? Now you got all this stuff strewn out. You know, the wife challenge, are you done yet? Come on, I'm going to get to my mother's house. And you sit down like, all right, I'm ready. I'm trying to fix the car. And now you're like, ah, what am I going to do? Who are you going to call now? Listen, it's just common sense. Check the air in the Space Saver spare.
Welcome,
it rhymes.
Welcome to Tire Changing Theater with Ray Guarino.
Just the tire tip of the day, folks.
Oh, yeah. Quite a tip of the day right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. We're going to move this party right along. When we return, we're going to find out all the fine things Joe D's tool can do. And
surprised.
How my tool always gets the job done, according to Gerard from Rolling Thunder. And how Ray's trip to Tire Town got by the censors, which made me cringeworthy as well. How caller Brian dealt with a slow leak in his tire on the highway. And how drag strip announcers sounded like during the heyday of drag racing. Right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza with Ray Guarino and Chris Witzer. Please keep it where you got it. We have a lot more coming your way.
Tools to keep your engine roaring. It's the Motormouths, baby. Yeah.
Wake up with NCC's Retro Mix. Start your weekday morning with HPC's Music Mix, the Retro Mix. Take us with you with your morning drive, weather, sports, the latest scoop in music and showbiz, just to keep you in the loop. NCC's Retro Mix. It's not oldies, it's retro. Listen to the Retro Mix on Retro 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College.
NCC's Retro Mix, weekdays starting at 5 a.m. on 90.3 WHPC.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza right here on Mother's Day 2014. We're playing the best bits of 2013, 2014 right here for you. And what are we doing now?
Well, of course, we talk to our good friend and Gubatacic, Obi Don Cannoli, Joe D.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that, Chris, when we have a check engine light lit on our dashes, one of the first people we go to is Joe if we can't figure it out. Joe works for Standard Motor Products, of course, because he brings his tools and gets right to work. And we, and we here at Motormouth Radio, we've discussed that tool ad nauseum, just like right now.
Why you got to look at your scan data. It's short-term fuel trim, long-term fuel trim.
Right.
And on a scope, you can look at each injector, and that's how you have to be able to pull that one out and isolate, and a scope will do that for you. A shop scope will do that.
A shop scope. Where would it be hooked up to? Each individual fuel injector, or?
Yeah, you read the injector pulse.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
Each individually. You wouldn't read that from the ALDL clip.
I don't know. Let me see if I remember how Joe's tool worked. If his just went into the ALDL, it could. It sure certainly could, because all the data's there.
But Joe's tool works.
It sure does work.
It sure does.
You got to see it.
You can clip that thing anywhere.
You got to see that thing.
Oh my God! You can just hold it right up to the car. And holy smokes! That's just working.
That's true.
That is true. All he has to do is lean on it. That's it.
Well,
and he'll just. Plop data. A lot of data gets plopped.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the phones. Go to the fun. How are you on with the Motormouths?
Plop.
Yeah.
I like it when people talk about my tool in such glowing terms, but then plop. I don't know. I mean, that's a glowing review.
Well, we all can't be sitting on a beach in Florida somewhere having a good time.
Well, you know, there's some of us who have to perform our familial duties right now. You know, I'm.
Hey,
Brent. You know, you were drunk in the bit. I think you're just as drunk there as you were now.
Well, let me tell you, speaking of drunk, it's always a joy when we share some good old-fashioned observations with Gerard from Rolling Thunder. And today's observation, not that Gerard is drunk, don't get me wrong, he's sitting right there, he looks fine.
He is.
Today's observation starts out with analyzing my tool and moves on to other MacGyver-esque techniques.
Only at Rolling Thunder.
That's right, and only right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza.
I listen to the show. I listen to what you tell me. He has and many cars he's working on.
It doesn't put you to sleep like it does most.
No. Oh, it's very intense. I hang on every word, to be honest with you. So, and I have to mention that I think that Chris has been becoming more and more creative in the fact that he has to get something done. And then he doesn't have the tool to do it.
Okay.
So, you know, and so you'll question him on how he does it. And I think
you mean like the Corvette bushings that you were talking about.
Well, yeah, I think that was it, you know.
Yes.
And you know, how he'll take a $45 snap-on socket and cut it into a $5 shim. I think this is
right. Yeah.
We need to give him a new moniker. He needs to be MacGyver from now on.
You're right,
Chris.
That's
you know?
Very astute, yes. Well, nowhere else can someone take an expensive tool and make it into a worthless piece of junk for a one-time deal. Right. Where it could have had a long service life as a good tool.
But it gets the job done.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I guess it's the ends justify the means. Is that what it is? It's one of those things?
Like that.
Thank you, Drew, for noticing my true talents.
Yeah. You're not the only one, I'm sure, who does stuff like that.
Oh, no, I'm constantly doing stuff in the garage. Like, I was like, oh, I don't have this. What am I going to do? You know, oh, yeah, that's right. You know,
hack it to death with a kitchen knife.
Right, kitchen knife. Right. You know, Bob, who used to work for us, was the best for that, you know. So
really?
I would take, you know, things from him when I would think about it. And my favorite, you know, I know I've told you the story before. I had 72 Chevy van. I'm going back a couple of decades now.
Yes.
Yeah. I had over 100,000 miles on it. I had to change the camshaft on it. So I have it over at the first shop. So got the air tools out, and I'm trying to get the cam out. I got everything apart in front of the 8-cylinder Chevy van, right? And the cam's hitting the grill. Oh, I got to take this off. I got to take the bumper off. Now, what would Bob do? I know. Get the air tool. Zip, zip, zip. Bend the grill down out of the way. Slide the cam out. Slide the cam in. Bend the grill. It could probably bend it once, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Got the job done.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Well.
We're getting the job done right here in the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, aren't we?
And speaking about getting the job done, you know, I needed tires on my car just a short while ago, and I went over to see our good friend Joe Galoglia at Tire Town.
Oh, yeah.
In Rockville Center. And I had done my research and knew the brands that I wanted and the brands that they offered and had a little talk with Joe about it. And this might not sound like a funny conversation, but just give a listen and see how we got that job done.
Another cringeworthy edition of the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza.
So as the technician took my car to assess the tires, and I spoke about this a couple weeks ago, I think. I did my research and found out which tires I wanted. Now, I had, of course... It was a great conversation with Joe because he says, well, what do you got on there now? And I said, well, I have four Falcon tires on there now. And he says, well, what are you doing? He goes, you got two Falcon bad tires. I'm like, yes, I have two Falcon bad tires, and I'm going to take two of those off.
I'm sweating here.
I may now put on two more Falcon tires to have a full house of four Falcon tires again. I think I'm going to go with some other brand.
I'm going to go to another radio show.
Yeah, and Joe is laughing on the phone. He loves when that happens.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he loves it just as much as I do.
And I had chosen three alternate brands. I chose...
You were right on the precipice.
Yes,
right
thank
there.
You. I had chosen two more Falcon tires, and then I chose two Cooper tires.
What?
As well as...
Watch your language.
As well as a pair of General tires.
Okay.
Ride with the General.
Yes.
And Joe said, oh, Generals. He goes, G-Maxes? I'm like, yes, as a matter of fact, they are G-Maxes. He goes, excellent tire.
Really?
How'd you pick those? He goes, who picked those for you? I said, I did, Joe. I did my research. I looked at the UTOG rating. I was trying to find something with a little bit higher CCA rating for wear factor and all. He goes, you couldn't have done that yourself. He goes, you're not that smart. It's like talking to Pat Seppi when I talk to Joe.
That's a good ending.
Yeah, leave it to Joe.
That's true. Right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Let me tell you, since tires seem to be the running theme here on the program, we turn to an individual who is certainly not kind to tires. Here's a call of Brian defending his position as to what was that smoldering chunk of metal melting in the back seat of his car.
Oh, can't wait.
I know Ray is going to love this right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza.
Ray, this is an individual. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, Brian. This is an individual that got a slow leak in his front tire on one of his cars and still managed to make it down the southern state where the tire went flat. The tire had torn off the rim. He's still driving it, still on the southern
state. Yeah, but it was on steel. Steel is stronger than plastic.
Sounds like
rubber.
My daughter.
Do you realize that?
Brian, are you my daughter? Because she did the same thing.
Drove it on the rim.
Yeah.
On the southern state.
Wow.
On the rim.
Nice.
Until the rim flattened.
Looks like a cop's video.
Yeah, it
would
was.
It would be the helicopter with the
I only went
15
camera. Miles on it. I would expect a lot more from a rim.
Yeah, they should make those rims better. You're right.
Now, here's the best.
Go on.
Here's the best. You know how I know what the rim looked like?
You were with him.
No.
Tell him, go, go, go.
No, this is how I knew. Because, Brian, what'd you do with the rim, Brian?
I brought it in.
He took the rim off the car and put it in the back seat.
Oh, okay.
Still smoldering.
Yeah, it melts through the rear seat. You know, well, you see, in that case, if you had an aluminum rim, it could have acted as a secondary tire. Because it would have been a little softer as it gave itself up.
So you know what? I still understand, because it's made of steel, why it went out. And I would expect it to be stronger than rubber, but I never understand that concept.
Yeah.
So Chris has given me some bad advice. Had the amber light on, and Chris said, oh, if you don't take that in pretty soon, you'll be in trouble. 2 years later, I was still driving around, no problems.
I don't want to ask how you got an inspection, but anyway, we won't cover that. But anyway.
You know what?
Inspection?
Last
what?
Last time we mentioned inspection, I got cut off.
And he's cut off again.
Yes, he is. Bye.
All righty. We're coming to the last bit, aren't we?
Let's run down another drag racing bit.
Let's wrap up the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza. You try saying that after that blue stuff. With one of the best calls we've received all year. It's from ex-Dover Drag Strip announcer Dino Lawrence. He lets us in on how he got started handling all the announcing duties back in the day at Dover Drag Strip.
Here we go.
And I heard the announcer, and he was okay, and I said, man, I would really like to do that. Because at the time, we had guys like Imus in the Morning on New York radio.
Sure.
And the George Carlin genre.
Yeah.
And I just loved those stand-up comedians. And I said, let me up there. I'll entertain them.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1967, opening day, there I was leaning against the gas pit's fence. And we're waiting. And we're waiting. And it's 10 o'clock, time for time trials. There's nobody in the tower.
Right.
So I called out to Chet and Joe, the owners, who they had a vision to build this track that was unbelievable. I mean, talk about entrepreneurs. I said, where's your announcer? He said, he didn't show up.
Mm.
I said, give me a shot.
Right.
So I went up and had this little funky push-the-button microphone, and it was going through the PA system that they had hand-built from Army Surplus speakers, and they liked what I did. And I stayed on.
Wow.
Come to find out through our forum, where else, we've got a whole history of every single announcer that ever announced there. And we found out that Gary, the previous announcer to me, his girlfriend didn't really like drag racing, and she didn't want him to go.
Uh-huh.
So, around 1967, springtime, he just didn't show up.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I was there at the right time.
Can you give us a little bit of that, a little bit of the announcing stuff now?
Attention in the pits and other parts of your body. Welcome to Dover Drag Strip, nice. The fast track in the east. Gentlemen, attention in the pits. Down staging lane 1, A stock, lane 2, B stock, lane 3, C stock, lane 4, D stock, lane 5, E stock. Welcome to Dover. Eliminations will start at 2 o'clock. Dino with you on a Sunday afternoon. Sundays will never be the same.
And I don't think this show will ever be the same.
Thanks, Dino.
Nice. Well, that looks like it. We're wrapping this Mother's Day right now. And Ray, it was a great job. Thank you so much for a great year of highlights.
Yeah, thank you, Chris, for putting it all together, compiling it, and getting us the script.
Let's eat. Yes, let's eat. We're done. We're out of here. Thunder Road on the way. See ya.
Happy Mother's Day.